Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
Welcome back to the Bump and Stacy Show. You got Curtis Rogers filling in for Stacy as she's on vacation doing whatever she wants to do. Stacy, hope you are enjoying it. But we're talking Seahawk football, and we're at minicamp right now. We're at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. Practice starts around 1 o'clock, and situations are different for guys on this team, just like in life, in any building, any company. This is different for some folks. Some folks got it good. Some folks are interning, you know what I mean? Some guys are in the middle trying to figure it out. And there are some guys who need to leave this camp and have these coaches thinking about them. When they're off at home or in their offices breaking down film, some guys just need to show and prove and put good film out there and leave this mini camp with a good impression. And the very first guy I think about is D. Eskridge. And I think about him because we just haven't seen much of D. Eskridge. I don't think that D is on the bubble of getting cut. I think that he's a guy that they need to see more of so they can implement him into the offense. Now, you never know. Guys get cut all the time for certain reasons, but you just don't know. In 2 years with the Seahawks, he's played in 20 games. He's got 17 catches, 122 yards, and one touchdown. This guy was drafted in the second round a few years back, and I had high hopes for him. I saw what he can do, and I go, look, he can be great in the slot. He can be a good returner. But I believe the first time he touched the football against the Indianapolis Colts back in 2021, it was on a jet sweep. He gets knocked out of bounds. Boom, he's concussed. And it was a bad concussion because he didn't come back as quickly as most guys do. So you got to take care of yourself. I'm glad he was healthy. Comes back the next year, and we only see a little bit of him because I believe he had like a hamstring injury when he was in camp before the season. So there's been a concussion. There's been a hammy that have hindered him from being the guy that I think he can be. But at some point, you got to see something from him, especially when you draft Jaxon Smith-Njigba. You have guys who contributed last year like Derek Young, a late draft pick. And you have guys like Jake Bobo, who I'm going to talk about later, who are competing for your spot. So I think of guys like D. Eskridge, and I say, you got to catch punts, you got to do kick returns, you got to be a gunner on special teams, and then you need to be a receiver. They need to leave, the coaches need to leave this camp and say, we like what D is doing.
Yeah, this is vital for D. Eskridge to have a great camp this week and then follow it up with a great training camp. Just be available. Be active. Because we have not seen him, like you said, just 20 games in two seasons out of a possible, 33? So he's played in two-thirds of the games that he could have played in over the course of his two-year NFL career to this point. Yeah, he's got to be able to get in the lineup and stay in the lineup and be healthy. And like you said, Bump, if it means not being a wide receiver by, you know, standard definition, you know, find your way into lineup as a kick returner, as a punt returner, as a gunner, like you said. Like, those are other ways that he can find himself in this lineup and be useful. Now, that's going to be tough, too, especially with the year that Godwin Igbubuike had as a returner.
Right.
Because he looked really good in that role at the end of the 2022 season. We haven't seen a kick returner in Seattle have the kind of success that he had at the end of the last season.
Wow. Was Leon the last one?
I think so. I mean, Tyler Lockett, when he was a punt returner, he had the ability to take it to the house. But it's been a long time since the return game has seen numbers the way that Godwin put him up at the end of last season.
Yeah, and that was fun to watch, man. Igbubuike is a good person. I met the dude. Good story. Another name that I look at and I go, okay, he's not necessarily going to get cut. I don't think he's going to get cut. But we haven't seen a lot of him either, and that's Trey Brown. Trey Brown can play the corner position. I lean on my colleagues if they played a specific position, and I give them my analysis. They give me theirs. And Paul Moyer loves some Trey Brown. He says he knows how to be a corner. And you look at that position. It's deep over there right now. You got your two starters. Obviously, Witherspoon is going to get a chance to be a starter. You got Tariq Woolen over there. And then you have Mike Jackson, who did a great job for this team last year. And you throw Trey Brown in there, who I think can compete at that nickel spot as well. And don't forget Kobe Bryant, who moved from outside to inside at that nickel spot. And then you even bring in Julian Love, who's going to play some nickel as well. That corner spot is probably one of the deepest on this team. And you got to see what Trey can do. Can Trey pick up the defense? Can he make open field plays or tackles? Can he attack the football out the air? I think that if you're a cornerback on this defense and you can get pass breakups, obviously, because that's your job, and interceptions, obviously, because it's your job, you're going to turn some heads, man. So Trey Brown is another guy I look at, Curtis, and say, all right, coach has got to leave here and be thinking about Trey.
When you bring up Trey Brown and Dee Eskridge, two guys who are part of the same draft class, two-thirds of that 2021 draft class, it reminds me, it jogs my memory. Remember back in, I want to say November or December, we had Eric Williams of Fox Sports on, who had an exclusive interview with John Schneider, and he talked about the 2020 and 2021 draft classes setting the organization back, just because in 2021 they didn't have, you know, they only had three picks.
Yeah.
And then 2020 they just didn't hit on a lot of guys. Schneider said this in this column that Eric Williams wrote. This is a quote from John Schneider. It said, you combine he's talking about the Jamal Adams trade, with two of the expletive-ist draft classes in recent history in the league. And then us also not really doing a great job of bringing some guys in that were competitive enough to say, I'm going to take Earl's job, I'm going to take Sherm's job. Mm-hmm. We got into a couple classes that where we learned those guys were, you know, fans of Russell Wilson on Madden or playing as Cam Chancellor on Madden. Now they're in the room with them saying, oh, man, that's Cam Chancellor, instead of saying, I'm going to go and try and take his job. It's interesting that the 2021 draft class has as much expectation or has as much, I think, to gain and lose in this year of 2023, because look, they, for whatever reason, the guys that they did pinpoint in that 2021 draft class just have not been able to stay on the field.
Yeah. I love that, the way he put that, because I think that's real, because once these rookies follow up, they come into this building and they're looking at guys who are a part of one of the greatest defenses of all time. If you don't have that dog mentality that I'm going to take that man's spot, then you're not being as competitive as you can be out on the field. You know what I'm saying? Because you feel like, I don't really have a chance to get out on this football field. It does something to your mental. I don't think that's the case anymore over here. I think guys see the guy in front of him and say, I'm going to push him, I'm going to try to take that spot, even if it's not realistic. Bobby's going to be out there.
Yes.
Right? Jamal's going to be out there. Quandre's going to be out there. But you still are responsible for pushing these guys and making them feel you a little bit. There's another name I look at, and I know he's going to play, but I still think because of the circumstances at this position, he's got to ball out. I'm looking at Devin Bush, man. Because look at the combination of inside linebackers last year, Jordan Brooks and Cody Barton. Cody Barton did some good things, and I think Cody Barton got better as the season went along, but you never felt like he was going to be your guy long-term at that position, especially when you're coming from Bobby Wagner, from K.J. Wright, from Bruce Irvin, like these legends in the game who put that LB spot and held it at it to a different standard. You looked at Cody and said, yeah, he's a good ball player. He'll be in this league. I mean, he's with the Commanders right now. He's probably going to start over there, but that's not what you're used to. And now Jordan goes down and Cody Barton is gone. You grab Devin Bush from the Pittsburgh Steelers, a former number 10 pick who just didn't work out over there. And you say, now I just hope he leaves his camp and the coaches have a good impression of him, because he is vital to this defense. Every piece on this defense is vital. But when Jordan is down, you're teamed up with Bobby, and we haven't got a lot of production at that position in the last few years, you're like, okay, Devin needs to be a dude too.
Yeah, and he needs to have a good season under his belt, because he's playing on a one-year deal. You know, this is kind of a prove-it year for him, because as a top 10 pick. I don't think he lived up to that billing in Pittsburgh. I think he dealt with some injuries, though. With the Steelers, so that may have held him back from reaching his fullest potential with the Steelers. But, yeah, he's going to play a huge role in this defense this year. He's going to be starting from day one. I think that's the presumption with him. So I think he needs to leave a good impression this week. But here's one that we don't have listed, Bump, that I'm kind of thinking about right now.
Okay.
What about Daryl Taylor? Mm. Because this is the final year of his rookie deal.
Yeah.
Even though it is his third season playing, he got credited for a year on his contract because he missed his entire rookie season. So this is his fourth season in the league, third year playing. He's playing for his next contract.
Yeah.
And whether that's here in Seattle, you know, do the Seahawks want to make that long-term investment with him going forward? Or, you know, maybe they choose to let him walk after this season? This is a big year for Daryl Taylor. And last year didn't get off to the great start that we kind of anticipated from him because, you know, he played really well to start the 2021 season, had that, you know, very scary injury against the Steelers, still bounced back from that. But I don't think he can afford a slow start this season. I think he needs to be producing from day one this season. He needs to be present and just, you know, have a you know, mentality of like, I'm going to get that next contract here or elsewhere, but he's got to have a big season this year because this is the final year of his rookie deal.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned him because I have the same question for him that people have for Geno, and that's, can he do it again?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? 2021, he has 6.5 sacks. 2022, he has 9.5 sacks, four forced fumbles. Can he do it again? Because if he can go out there and produce 9.5, 10, 11 sacks, and Uchenna does what I think that he's going to do, you're looking at this defense again and saying they could be top five, top six in the league when it comes to sacks once again, and Daryl Taylor's going to be a big part of that. And it's Derek Hall's job to push Daryl Taylor.
Yeah.
It's Boye Mafe's job to push Daryl Taylor. So, yeah, I love that as well. Can Daryl Taylor be the guy that we saw last year? And like you said, from the jump, let's not wait. We can't get into a groove. This is 17 games. It ain't 162 like the Mariners. All right, it's 17. You got to go right now.
By game four, you can't say it's still early.
You can't
anymore.
Say it's too early. Can't say it. All right, a guy that I'm looking at, another young guy, is Jarek Reed. I'm going to look at Jarek Reed out of New Mexico because he is, by stature, he is Quandre. He's Quandre. He's a smaller guy. He attacks the football. He plays with violence. And I think he's everything that these guys are looking for at that safety position. And it don't even matter. It can be free safety, strong safety. We've heard Clinton Hurd and everyone else in this defense say, yeah, you have a free safety and a strong safety, but you never know what each is going to do. One can be in the box, one can be up high, and vice versa. And I think Jarek Reed is awesome at that. He's going to make this team. And I'm going to say right now, the reason why he's going to make this team is because, one, he can play safety, nickel, and corner. Versatile. Again, we talk about how deep this DB room is. And he's a special teamer. There was a clip that I heard from Pete Carroll that said, when you watch him cover on kickoff cover, it looks like he wants to be out there. He is making plays. He is violent. A lot of the times when you turn on film on kickoff cover teams, there are guys who are just jogging and going through the motions, and that's when big plays happen. Not with Jarek Reed. Jarek Reed goes out there, and he plays violent. He's the type of guy that Pete Carroll loves.
Pete Carroll spoke very highly of Jarek Reed after, what was it, rookie minicamp?
Yeah.
Saying, like, this is a, you know, this guy fits kind of what we look for in defensive backs here. And I think that's somebody – we talk about the level of competition in this team. I mean, the Seahawks have maybe the deepest group of defensive backs they've had since the Legion of Boom era. And yet, I think what's great is that some of these guys – and we're going to talk to Kobe Bryant maybe at the end of this hour or the start of next hour. You know, like, there is still – jobs up for grab, even though it feels like you've got kind of your starters solidified, I still think that they're going to be guys pushing each other. Jarek Reed comes to mind, like you pointed out there, Bump, as one that may have something to say when it comes to who's playing where in 2023.
Yep. My last guy, I've been talking about him often, Jake Bobo out of UCLA. There's some
you
guys,
love the UCLA guys.
Is that it, man? I don't know what it is, man. But Jake Bobo, a big kid. He's 6'5", 215. And he's an old rookie. He played 4 years at Duke and then got another year with UCLA that last year. 57 catches, 817 yards, and 7 touchdowns. Ran one of the slowest 40 times I've seen from a 40, but he's a ball player. I ain't worried about that 40 time. I've seen him move. I've seen him go to work. I look at Jake Bobo and I go, okay, you can't just be a receiver. That's the thing about receivers. You can't just be a receiver, right? You got to go and do some things that they ask defensive players to do, which is tackle people on these special teams, whether it be punt, punt cover, kickoff, kick return. You got to block, you got to tackle. You have to do more. If he can do more, then I think that he has a really good chance of making this team because he has a great, he does a great job of filling the space on the football field and just has a high football IQ. With 1 year over there with UCLA, he made it happen. With him and Zach Charbonnet, who is now a Seahawk as well, and DTR, the QB over there, they look good together. So I look at Jake Bobo, man, and I go, look, man, you're 6'5", 215. You're going to get eyes on you off top. I've seen you run. I've seen you work the outside. I've seen you work the slot. If you can go down and tackle, if you can block on special teams, you have a chance of making this team. But you're going to compete with every defensive back out there because they tend to fill up the roster spots when it comes to special teams, guys. Jake Bobo, my last one. You got anybody else you're trying to move on?
I think we're good. We're up against the clock a little bit. But
all right, let's get it. Four down territory.
This is four down territory. Going inside the game. With former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
All right, Bump. First down to you. Richie James. I'm slightly familiar to some NFL fans, but maybe not a ton. How has he gotten on your radar?
It's crazy, man. He got on my radar, one, because I remember him fumbling 2 times against the Seahawks. So when I'm doing research for the show and I'm looking at lists that guys are putting out, there's a list, top 10 pass catchers of 2022. There's a surprise at number one. And talk about core, it's a stat that Next Gen uses to talk about the pass catchers. But I'm going through the list, right? And there's some usual suspects on this list, Curtis. I'm looking at number 10. We got Terry McLaurin. Awesome. You got Stephon Diggs. Boom. You got Devontae Smith. You got T. Higgins. You got Tyler Boyd. Cooper Kupp. Dallas Goedert. Mike Williams. The Chargers' Mike Williams. George Pickens. And then at number one, you have Richie James. And I go, there's no way Richie James is number one. But then you look at his catch rate. 81% of the time, he caught the football. And then I start looking at his stats. I go, all right, he had about 500-something yards, about 4 touchdowns. I go, okay, where is he now? Now he is with the Kansas City Chiefs. And yeah, I'm like, oh,
of course. Of course he is.
Right? If there's anybody who can take an okay, a slightly above-average receiver and make them great, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. So, honestly, he got on my radar because I remember him fumbling twice against the Seahawks and then being carted off the field for some reason. But then I got on this list and I go, he's better than what I thought he is. So I look at Richie James and I go, pay attention to what's going on over there with the Kansas City Chiefs. We saw what they did with Juju last year. Resurrected his career. I forgot where Juju is now. Who's what? The Patriots. He's with the Patriots.
That's
now.
Right.
Resurrected his career. He had an awesome career over there. Can they do the same for Richie James? He's a returner as well. That's the only reason why he got on my radar, because the fumbles and this list. And I love finding guys that no one's talking about. Richie James. Y'all remember that name.
Second down. Bump, there have been 5 teams who have not done much winning this past decade. Who are they, and which of these teams do you think could turn it around this year?
All right, there have been some teams, man. Some teams that have not done well over the past 10 years, and I tell you who's not part of that. The Seattle Seahawks, as they celebrate their 10-year anniversary of winning a Super Bowl. But you look at the teams, the top 10 teams, or top, I'll go with top 5. You got the Jaguars, the Browns, the Jets, the Giants, the Commanders, and the Bears. I look at the Jaguars, and I look at the transformation of Trevor Lawrence. Doug Peterson has gone over there and made him a quality quarterback. And then you add Calvin Ridley to that situation over there. He's coming off his suspension from gambling. Young fellas learn from their mistakes. And then you got Etienne over there as well running the football. I look at the Jaguars, and I go, they look good. the team that's going to have the biggest turnaround, it's got to be the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. You have one of the best defenses in the league. Your running back is going to be healthy this year in Breece Hall. You pick up Aaron Rodgers, one of the best to do it. Even though if you don't like his attitude, don't matter. My guy can ball. And then you have some receivers over there as well, Garrett Wilson. And then they also added Alan Lazard as well. I look at the Jets and I go, look, you have a great leader in Saleh who was around the 49ers in their heyday when they're winning ball games. You bring back Sauce Gardner in that defense. Quinnen Williams now, also what the Jets are doing, they're ending their minicamp a week early because they're playing in a Hall of Fame game, so they're allowing guys to leave. And what that does, it helps Quinnen Williams as well because he was going to hold out because he's trying to get a new contract. Hopefully they work that out. With all the pieces they have over there, led by Aaron Rodgers, out of the top five teams who's had the worst record over the last 10 years, the Jets are going to turn it around this year.
Third down. Bump, the Bills had us scratching our heads yesterday when they announced they're building a new stadium, but it's going to be without a roof. But what's a feature of this new stadium that will have the approval of the players?
So, it gets pretty cold in Buffalo, New York, you would say?
That it does.
And we were like, why wouldn't you cover that stadium? I guess, I think it's more of an ego type thing. We play in the cold when it's snowing. It doesn't matter. And I think anyone who's a Bills fan that lives in that area is equipped with snow gear and they're ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
But this is what they're doing. I think they had like 25 years or something like that playing on turf. They're bringing it back to grass. And they're saying they're going to use the same technology that they use at Lambeau Field. So they got heaters underneath the grass, keep it nice and or soft enough to play some football in. And I go, there you go. Players are going to love this because players prefer grass over turf anyway. The reason why the owners of these stadiums prefer turf is because it's easier to have different type of events on it.
You don't have to maintain
it.
It's
crazy,
yeah.
Right? So, no, you had me scratching my head yesterday about not covering that stadium, but putting grass on it makes me feel a bit more better, and I'm sure route runners like Diggs will appreciate that.
Fourth down. Bump, another player is being investigated for gambling in the NFL, Indianapolis cornerback Isaiah Rodgers. There have been some issues this offseason when it comes to players gambling, so who is at fault here?
Well, the player is always at fault because he made that decision, but when you're looking at the guys who are getting caught up in all this, it's the younger guys. So the younger guys are getting caught up in this. We have Calvin Ridley. We had Williams, a running back, former running back from Detroit, get caught up as well. Who do you point the finger to? Obviously the player. He made the decision. He got in trouble. But you got to look at the organization as well. How much time are they spending making it as clear as day that you cannot bet on NFL games? And then you look at the NFL itself. They have these rookie symposiums that they have. They say they go through their first few months in the league. Are they talking about that? Are they relaying how severe this penalty is? You can lose a full year. I mean, Calvin really lost a full year of football because he made a mistake. So if something keeps happening, right, the people who are making these decisions, obviously the players are to blame. But to prevent it from happening, you got to go to management and say, look, all right, what can we do? What information can we give them? What type of courses can we put these guys through? What type of mentorship can we give them to make sure that they're not making these mistakes? It's always on the player. They have information, but how much information do they have? And are they making it clear that you can lose out on game checks if you make that mistake? All right, that was Four Down Territory. It's time for the timeline when we get back, man. The Seahawks have announced when they're going to wear their throwbacks. WIAA finally got it right when it comes to the championship game, state championship game here in Washington. And then Fox Sports News, man, who are they going to replace Shannon Sharp with? We'll let you know all that next on the Bump and Stacey Show.
This is The Timeline
with Bump and Stacey.
Brought to you by 1-800-DUIOA.
This is The Timeline on the Bump and Stacey Show. I'm Michael Bumpus with Curtis Rogers filling in for Stacey. The first one on The Timeline. I wasn't going to wait for this one.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Because I am extremely excited about this. The Seahawks have announced they will wear their throwback uniforms against the Cleveland Browns on October 29th. The only problem I have with this is what, Curtis?
Is that it's in the middle of the season.
It's in the middle of the season. I want to see it like first few weeks, man. I'm anxious. They're going to be the nicest jerseys in the league.
I think that's going to be a very clean looking game because I like the Browns uniforms.
I do too.
That might be controversial because some people are like, oh, the Browns, they don't even have a logo. But it's like, nah, you don't need a logo. Like, I think of like Penn State in college football. That's right. A clean look. Like, Cleveland Browns wearing their regular orange helmet, white jersey, maybe white pants or orange pants, whatever, and then the Seahawks in their throwbacks. I mean, that's going to be the cleanest looking game of that weekend. I hope that they get to wear them another time this season. Now, they only announced just one game. I believe NFL rules state you can wear your throwback jerseys. I believe it's either two or four times throughout a season. Okay. I would think it's two times is the maximum, maybe. So potentially later on in the season, how cool would it be Thanksgiving night against the 49ers? Yeah. And if the 49ers wear their throwbacks to that game. But that Browns-Seahawks game, October 29th, get your gear now. I believe also the Seahawks announced with that the launch plans of their throwback uniforms, like to be able to purchase them at retail locations. It'll be revealed later this summer, so keep your eyes and ears open for that news when that drops so you can go out and purchase all the throwback gear. Get your Dave Wyman jerseys.
Dave Wyman, get that 92.
Get your Paul Moyer 21 jersey. Get your Ray Roberts jerseys.
Big Ray.
I mean.
All the homies.
Yeah.
I'm getting all of them. Also, the Seahawks will celebrate their 10-year anniversary of Super Bowl 48,
September
24th against the Panthers, right? That was 10 years ago?
I feel very old when you say that it's been 10 years since they won Super Bowl 48. I was just a young little intern here at Seattle Sports, and now look at me.
Look at you now. about to have your second child.
I know.
10 years, man. A lot can happen in 10 years. What's next?
Yeah.
We got WIA. They got something right, man.
Unbelievable.
I've been very critical of WIAA because I don't agree with a lot of stuff that they do. But in 2024, high school state championship football games will be held at Husky Stadium. Now, it's on a trial basis, but this needed to happen. I did some games, called some games at the Tacoma Dome. I mean, kids used to grow up wanting to go to the Tacoma Dome. Was a good experience. The playing surface wasn't the greatest, but it was indoors in a controlled environment. You take it. The last few years, it's been in Puyallup. I went to a couple of those games. I believe in the 3A state title game, half of the field was still frozen.
Wow.
And it was difficult to watch it sometimes. But they got it right. The game should be at either Husky Stadium or at Lumen.
Yes.
That's the way it should be. Kids should grow up dreaming of playing at a university that a lot of kids in the state want to go to, University of Washington, or playing in the stadium that most people in this state support the team that plays their supports, and that's the Seattle Seahawks. So I applaud you, WIAA.
Yes,
because I've been critical about a lot of things that they do, but this is right, and I hope it goes so smoothly that you sign a 5-10 year contract, mm-hmm. make it official, because kids love this.
Venues for state title games should be a reward for the players, and
facts.
There should be no worry about the cost for the WIAA to pay to have this venue reserved for them on those dates. I don't care if you know Husky Stadium is only a quarter full, half full. I don't think you're ever going to see Husky Stadium full for a state title game. That's just kind of how high school football is viewed around this state. Like, it's not the state of Texas where, you know, Cowboys Stadium gets packed to the brim, what have you. But it should always serve as a reward for the athletes. The Tacoma Dome being the championship venue for the basketball state title mm-hmm. game. That means something to these kids. Give them a goal because, like you mentioned it, the title game being played out in Puyallup. No disrespect to the city of Puyallup, but, like, it's hard to say to your kids, like, at the end of the year, we're going to be there in Puyallup fighting for the title game. Like, no, you want to be like, guys, Husky Stadium, that's our goal this season. We want to be there. Playing for a state title, playing for a championship. I think this is going to be a tremendous thing in 2024, and I hope that it's the long-term home of the state title games.
Agreed. Next on the timeline. Fox Sports' Nick Wright and LeSean McCoy are rumored to be leading candidates to take over for Shannon Sharp on the Undisputed podcast /show. I think LeSean McCoy has ascended to where he is fairly quickly, man.
Yes.
He has a personality for TV and radio. He doesn't hold back. He lets you know he loves his Eagles. But he's going to shoot you straight. And then Nick Wright is a hot take guy. I mean, he's going to say things that make you double click, make you pay attention, make you view. So I don't think you can go wrong with either one of these guys, honestly, because what you're looking for is someone who's going to be able to go back and forth with Skip Bayless, have these debates and screaming matches, not take it personally and show up the next day and do their thing. And I think both of these guys are more than capable of doing that.
I think the number one reason why Nick Wright is in the running for Shannon Sharpe's spot to play foil to Skip Bayless is Nick Wright is a big LeBron James supporter.
Yes, he is.
And Skip Bayless is the number one LeBron James detractor in the world, the number one LeBron James hater.
Yes.
To put those two together, I think Fox Sports is kind of licking their chops at that possibility. Now, Nick Wright has had a very successful career as an opinionist, sort of away from Skip Bayless. I don't know if they've ever done anything together. So I think that, you know, I wonder if Nick Wright is maybe willing to play second fiddle to Skip Bayless, because, like, look, that, say what you want about Skip Bayless, and same with, like, Stephen A. Smith, but, like, they're successful because people tune in.
Yeah.
They're successful because we're talking about them when they haven't had anything to say today. Like, I don't know if he said anything on the show today or not, but, like, we're still talking about them, even though, you know, they may not have had anything click-worthy today. So it'll be interesting to see of those two who gets that job, because they're just not going to have a vacant seat opposite of Skip Bayless. He's got to have somebody to debate with.
All right, last on the timeline. The Oakland A's pending Las Vegas Stadium deal failed to pass in a Nevada legislation session. Nevada Governor Joe Lombardo could call a special session to try and pass the bill. Get it done. Get it done. I mean, Vegas, you can handle football. You can handle baseball. You can handle basketball. You can handle hockey. You got a team in the finals right now. I don't understand what the holdup is. I don't know how these sessions go. But if I am Mr. Governor Joe, I'm doing everything I can to make this happen.
Yes. I think it is a good thing, though, that the people of Las Vegas said, we're not funding this stadium unless there's significantly more contribution from the A's side.
I feel that.
Because, look, these people who own franchises are billionaires. They have a lot more money at their disposal than citizens of America that are just regular old folk like you and I, Bump.
Right.
Like, I think that if the A's want to move to Vegas, they're going to have to pitch in a significantly a bigger portion than what they're doing right now. I think their only contribution right now was like $380 million towards a $1.5 billion stadium. Mm. So Vegas would be on the hook for quite a bit more. So I think if the A's truly do want to move to Vegas, they're going to have to give the people of that city a much fairer deal if they want to pass that through.
You know how much the citizens of Buffalo agreed to contribute to their $1.6 billion stadium?
Was it like 100%?
It was like $850 million. Different culture over there in New York. Different culture. Hey, tonight's Pizza Hut pitching matchup, Logan Gilbert versus San Diego's Joe Musgrove. This hour of Bump and Stacey show is brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. When we return, it's time for that hype train.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Curtis Rogers filling in for Stacy. We are here at Virginia Mason Athletic Center, man. Mini camp is underway. That means we're getting closer and closer to football season, man. The greatest time of the year, in my opinion. It's summertime because you get a little bit of, you get a taste of football. You got baseball going down. The NBA playoffs are going down. Stanley Cup. It's just a good time of the year, Curtis.
It is, and it's beautiful weather. Today's going to be gorgeous. It's wild how at rookie minicamp, OTAs, and minicamp, the weather has been perfect all three of those weeks on the calendar here at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. These rookies and the new acquisitions are maybe being a little baited and switched when it comes to the weather, especially come the fall and winter around here.
Yeah.
But you know what? Just keep telling them. Yeah, it's like this year round. Yeah,
year round.
Recruit your buddies to come here too.
That's how Wazoo got me. They took me. My
during
trip
the
was,
summer?
No, my trip was in October, and it was like 75 degrees.
Oh, wow.
And it was beautiful. I go, you know what? I can see myself playing some ball here. But you know what time it is, man. It's time for the hype train. Let's get it. So here's how this works, Curtis.
Oh.
You know? Am I doing it, or is Matt going to do the – is he going to ask the questions, or am I doing
this? You can do it.
Okay,
yeah.
Here's how it works, okay? I'm going to ask you a question. And if you agree with whatever I say, you're going to say, you know what? I'm boarding that train, Bump. If not, you're going to let that train go by. Hear how I did that, Stacey?
Just short, sweet, to the point.
Bam, to the point. All right, first hype train. The Heat will go back to Denver with a 3-1 series lead.
Wow. They would have to win the next two games in Miami. I think even though Denver lost game two, they still kind of messed around in that game and had an opportunity to tie it at the buzzer.
Yep.
So it wasn't like it was a blowout in Miami's favor. I heard a stat the other day. Miami this year has 44 wins by five or fewer points.
Wow.
They love themselves some close ball games. If it is close, I think that is in Miami's favor. But look, Denver has, I think, more talent on their roster than the Heat do. They've got the best player in this series, Nikola Jokic. So I think it will not go back to Denver with a 3-1 series lead in favor of Miami. I think it goes back to Denver 2-2.
All right. Curtis is not on that train. The question is, the statement is that he will go back to Denver with a 3-1 series lead. Everything you said, I agree with. I think that the Heat are more, obviously, you just listed the stats, are better equipped for those close games. But the Denver Nuggets have the complete team. You got the two-time MVP. You got Jamal Murray. You got Michael Porter. I just like the way that team flows. But Jimmy Butler is 33 years old. He's going to be 34 in September. This is it for him. And I think he plays with that sense of urgency, and they are going to split these games in Miami. I am not on that train as well. I'm with you. It goes back to 2-2. Next hype train. Here it is, Curtis. Something we need to happen. The Mariners will sweep the Padres in their two-game series.
Man.
The Padres.
They need it. They got to have it. Looking at the pitching matchups, we talked about Logan Gilbert against Joe Musgrove just a segment ago. And then Wednesday is going to be George Kirby taking on Michael Wacha, which... Michael Wacha, or as Fozzie Bear would say, Wacha Wacha. So, look, Michael Wacha was, I believe, the National League Pitcher of the Month for the month of May.
Uh-huh.
So that's... For as much as that has gone wrong for the Padres, Wacha has at least performed pretty well. But I like George Kirby in the matinee on Wednesday. Tonight, Logan Gilbert against Joe Musgrove. Look, Mariners have an opportunity to do it. I think they do, against all odds, sweep the San Diego Padres. Let's board this train.
Let's go.
Let's go. Maybe against my better judgment, but I think they sweep the Padres in these two games.
All right, all right. The Mariners will sweep the Padres in their two-game series. See, I left all the analysis to you. Wacha Flame is on the mound. You got who in the matinee?
George Kirby in the matinee
against Wacha Flocka. I'm leaving the analysis to you. I'm going off of just, these are one of the times where I just put it out into the universe, and the universe makes it happen for me. So I'm going to say that is going to happen. I'm boarding that train. Make that noise.
Well, look who's here. Let's
do it.
Well, yeah, we've got Kobe Bryant, Seahawks cornerback, joining us in the flesh. Kobe, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us. This is your second mini camp. Does it feel, how do you feel going into this one compared to last year?
I definitely feel way more, you know, relaxed and, you know, more confident, obviously, because, you know, I got a year under my belt, and just to go out there and, you know, be with the guys again is definitely something to look forward to.
Man, that DB room is deep, man. What's the relationship in that room like? What's the conversation like? Because I'm sure you guys all got love for each other, but you're competing as well.
Yeah.
What's that like?
Yeah, just like you said, it's all love. You know, we're in this together. You know, we're not against each other. You know, at the end of the day on Sundays, we line up, you know, against our opponent, you know, like I said, not against each other. So, you know, we're all willing to compete, but also help each other as well, too. You know, that's the biggest thing.
Yep.
Kobe, I might get you in trouble for this question, but you're the only person on this planet that can answer it. I'm telling you. You have played with Sauce Gardner.
Right.
You've played with Tariq Woolen. There's a big debate as to which guy are you taking.
Right.
Who are you taking?
I mean, I can't answer that. You know, they're, like I said,
I told you he was going to say that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, for sure. You know,
I respect that.
Both good at, you know, unique in their own ways. You know, obviously, both terrific players. You know, we're still young, and the sky is the limit for both of them. You know, so it's a blessing to play with both of those guys, and it's been fun for sure.
What's the difference going into this season? Because last year, it was like a question mark. How good is this team going to be?
Right.
This year, you guys have a great year. Lots of contributions from rookies like yourself. Geno's back. Is there more confidence in this team, or what's the vibe going into this season?
Definitely. You know, I feel like, you know, it's the growth as well, too. You know, you always want to grow, you know, each year. And last year, you know, a lot of people counted us out, which, you know, we really don't care about that. You know, long as we, you know, can count on each other, you know, like I say, going to the season, having the right mentality, you know, the sky's the limit for sure.
What are some personal goals you have for yourself this season?
Definitely be the best nickel, you know, in the league or whatever, you know, position I end up playing or whatever, you know, just dominate, you know, definitely go to the Pro Bowl, you know, all pro, you know, things like that as well, you know, but me personally, you know, I put my team goals first before my personal goals.
Physically, what was the difference between playing in the NFL and playing in college?
Like you said, physically, definitely, you know, longer season, you know, going against bigger, faster, stronger guys, and then, you know, being consistent each week. You know, that's the biggest thing. Like I said, each week you're going against the best. You know, it's the NFL. So, you know, everybody's good. So that was the biggest thing for me.
You're a defensive back, and the Seahawks have transitioned to a 3-4 defense over the last couple of seasons. Does it, I guess, matter to you being in the secondary what the front seven looks like, whether it be a 4-3 or 3-4, or do you just kind of just do your job regardless of what those guys are doing?
Definitely. You know, I trust behind the schemes that, you know, Coach Hurt and, you know, Coach Pete put out there. You know, I know they want the best for us. And like I said, I'm just grateful for the guys that we have on the defense, you know, and, you know, I know that we'll all make plays for sure.
When I was playing, I made the transition from the outside to the slot, and I fought it. I'm like, man, I want to be outside. There's bigger plays out there. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And you made the same transition, but on defense. What's the difference? Is it as simple as just the spacing on the outside rather than inside, or is there something else to it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, outside, you know, basically you have to come up and tackle, obviously, but the biggest thing is, you know, covering the outside receiver, but, you know, versus a slot, you know, you have to have run fits, you know, cover the guy, you blitz, you know, it's definitely more on your plate, but to, you know, to have that honor to be able to play slot and, you know, the coaches think that highly of me, you know, it shows a lot about myself and, you know, how they feel about me for sure.
Yep.
Have you gotten a look at the throwback uniforms?
Nope, not yet.
No?
Not yet.
They keep those on ice for you guys?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Definitely.
They're gonna be so clean.
Oh, for sure.
I can't wait to see that.
For sure, for sure.
You mentioned playing in the slot and being able to blitz.
Yeah.
That's something that DBs really don't get that many opportunities to do. Is that something you think they're going to use you more in scheme-wise?
Definitely. I mean, I had 2 sacks last year. You know, for me, I feel like that was a big, especially being a rookie, you know, first year playing nickel. You know, I love getting sacks, too. You know, it makes me feel good as well, too. But I definitely hope they do add in more blitzes for me. Yep. You know, I would love that for sure. So,
all right. Well, we kept it short and sweet.
Yeah,
Kobe
sure.
Bryant, man, appreciate you coming by and
hollering
at us real quick, man. When we return, we got lots more to do. Reminder, you can listen to us anytime. If you miss a show, download our podcast. It's everywhere. Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, all of that. We'll talk to you guys soon.